time. It's 6:11 in the p.m. Time to turn your radios up! Because it's the Mascot Wedding Show. My name is Mac Blake. And this is the Mascot Wedding Show. Radio is our unspeakable power. My name is Mac Blake, and joining me in studio is special guest, Jimena Estrada.
Hello. Hey, Macalicious, thanks for having me on this thing.
Hey, no problem. You got something to say there?
Yeah, this is the show where we open the phone lines to the community. So anytime you want to give us a call and be part of the show, the phone number is 472-5667 or 472-KOOP.
That's right. David Hotta is on assignment. This is the Mascot Wedding Show. Mac and special guest Jimena Estrada joining me in studio.
What is up?
To carry David's golden microphone.
Oh, I don't know if I'm worthy.
Few people are.
David's not even worthy.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. He's really been drinking a lot as of late. We start off the show with some Eagles of Death Metal off of their new album, Heart On. And that was Anything Baby Except the Truth, or something like that. I don't remember the exact name of it. But yeah, and then what else do we hear?
Late of the Pier afterwards, my current favorite band.
With what off of what?
Someone bring me that CD, so it's written on there. If you want to take it out and look at
yeah,
it.
Yeah, actually, let's do that. That's part of the responsibility here, is we have to inform the people about
Hey, you're the pro.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, I'm the pro here. Wrong. There you go.
All right, so that's Late of the Pier off the album Ecodistal Lambientory.
Yeah, Google it, jerks. Oh, and as Amina said, this is the show where we open the phone lines to the community. So if you want to give us a call at any point during the show, what is that number again?
That is 472-5667 or 472-KOOP.
So how's it going, kid?
It's going all right.
Because I got to admit, I'm a little tired.
Why are you tired? What's going on over there?
Well, I had to go out last night, you know?
You had to go out?
Yeah, because I'm a rock DJ.
Rock DJ, right. So you went to some show?
Well, it's kind of hard being a rock music DJ because, you know, there's like certain expectations.
Right.
You know, that you have to have. Like, you know, people expect certain things. You know, like right now, I mean, I know I'm a rock DJ, I have to do certain things and act a certain way just because that's part of the job.
You have to be cool.
Part and parcel, yeah. I mean, you think I always want to wear, you know, Western-style shirts with pearl snaps, you know, so women could rip them off at any moment without debuttoning me, you know?
Of course you do. You do.
No, I mean, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I'd rather just wear, like, a fleece pullover from, like, L.L. Bean.
Oh, I mean, well, those are nice, too,
It's getting kind of cold outside. I don't always want to have to wear, like, a T-shirt that's really tight. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, sometimes I like to wear an undershirt, but I can't because people need to see my chest hair because I'm a rock DJ.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, do you think I always want to wear aviator glasses at night? No. Sometimes it's hard to see. You know what I mean?
I do know what
like,
you mean.
Like, DJ Harris from Graveside Service. Are you familiar with that show, Graveside Service?
I'm not familiar with that
show. It's a
no.
show where it's part of Co-op's Over the Sweater Saturday lineup, including us. And it's a show where DJ Harris and DJ Spradling honor the deceased on the anniversary of their deaths with musical tributes and isn't
wow,
always
that's really cool.
Yeah, I know it is a really cool show. And it's not always just musicians, you know, like it could also be you know, naturalist painter John James Audubon. They, you know, could do a tribute to him.
Awesome. You know, something. I'm glad someone is.
Yeah, and you know, he DJ Harris, you know, if you see him just hanging out, you know, he'll be wearing like just a t-shirt, maybe a hoodie. But when he goes out, he has to wear full, you know, like gothic face paint and a hood because that's what his fans expect.
That's hardcore. That's a lot of dedication.
Yeah, it is a lot of work. I mean, like, you know, it's okay. Wednesday night, for example, you know, I'm tired. I want to go home and I want to watch South Park or, you know, Sons of Anarchy. But no, I'm a rock DJ. I got to go out.
Right. You know,
so I got to let the TiVo get those, you know, so I have to go see a movie. That's what I had to go see Role Models with David because, you know, I'm a rock DJ.
Wait, so you went to go see a movie
because
you're a rock DJ?
Yeah, no, it's just one of the things I got to do. I mean, I got to...
You're watching movies, though?
Yeah, you know, it's part and parcel. Got to stay up. Got to stay current, you know?
But what about shows, like other shows?
You mean like TV shows?
No, I mean,
the TiVo would catch those.
Right, your TiVo. But you're supposed to go out there and catch music shows, like go to concerts, go to emos, go to, I don't know, somewhere else.
But it's like, hold on, it's a Wednesday, though.
Wednesday is like, that's just the beginning of your week. of your rock week.
No, it's a Wednesday. That's late night.
It's the beginning of the rock week, Mac. That's when you go to shows. That's when you check out all whatever's going on downtown. You check out whatever little new hipster bars coming up with their,
I don't know
hipster
about that.
Shows.
I don't know. We'll see what this caller has to say. KOP, you're on the air.
Say what?
KOP, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. I totally dialed the wrong number.
Okay, bye. Hey, folks, 472-5667 is the phone number you call if you mean to call the show. in fact, I was out. Oh, I should also mention, we're going to have a special guest on the show later. Eugene Fernwell is going to call in. He's the author of the new book, There Is Time for Love, Dr. Jones, Eliminating Distractions and Focusing on What's Important.
I think I've heard about that.
No, it's making all the rounds.
Is there an infomercial for that?
Geez.
Or you better check your TiVo. Your TiVo probably could tell you that.
Yeah, I do record a lot of infomercials because I'm a rock music DJ.
Right.
I got to stay up on
right.
those. It's him. Yeah, it's him talking about his book, and there's like a lot of tropical scenes behind him. Yeah, no.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, you've probably seen it. Eugene Fernwell's his name. He's a self-help author and a motivational speaker. There Is Time for Love, Dr. Jones, Eliminating Distractions and Focusing on What's Important. He's going to be calling in later in the show.
Well, I'm glad. I want to see what he has to say.
Yeah, that should be a fun interview. Looking forward to that. Rock music DJ. It's tough.
Right.
It's
so,
tough staying out
so
late.
So what'd you do last night? What made you so tired?
I was at a bar.
Would you check out some show? Was it?
No. I played a CD in my car.
You're not brushing up on your new music?
No, I played a CD in the car on the way over there. It was a Billboard's Top Hits of 1984.
So let me get this straight. That's the extent of your DJ rock homework, the way that you...
No, there's other stuff too.
Apart from going to the movies.
No, there's other stuff too.
Like what?
I have to wear tighter pants than I normally would want to. KOP, you're on the air.
Shut up talking.
Boop. Gone. Hey, all the non-idiots out there, if you want to try calling in, that'd be great. Yeah, say, if you look in the mirror and you're scared because there's another person looking back at you, don't call in. But if you look in the mirror and you're able to recognize that it's a reflection of your own image, then you can call into the radio show.
But Mac, how do you know she didn't want to say something like shut up talking because I need to praise you really badly because I just need to tell you how awesome and I'm jealous that I'm not the guest this time around. How do you know she wasn't going to say that?
No, because she is not familiar with the show and does not know that it's a talk and music show. It's Radio's Hour of Unspeakable Power. It's the Mascot Wedding Show.
I don't know. She could have said something like, hey, stop talking because I want you to go to this show tonight and show your rock DJ power hour. What is it that you're...
It's Radio's Hour of Unspeakable Power.
There you
That's
go.
Mascot Wedding Show. Yeah. Or, on the other hand, she could just fall into an open manhole, which is, I think, would benefit all of us.
If you say so, Mac.
Yeah. Hey, call in. I'll be nice to you. 472-5667. It's a tough balance.
Right. Maybe your pants are a little too tight.
Ooh, my pants are on. Of course they're too tight. I'm a rock DJ.
Is that not possible for a rock DJ?
No, it's possible. I sewed some elastic into the sides to try and alleviate it a little bit. Oh, geez, we got another caller. What do you think, Amina?
Go for it.
All right. KOP, you're on the air.
Hey, rock DJ.
Hey, what's going on? Caller, what's your name?
Hey, this is Joe.
Hey, Joe, what's going on? What are you doing tonight?
Oh, man, I was just on my way to see some shows.
Oh, yeah? What are you going to see? Like a TV show?
No, man, like some music and stuff. But, you know, you are exactly right. You know, you have such a commitment you have to live up to, and people just don't realize it. And, you know,
Joe, you sound like you've been there. You sound like you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still awake from... last night.
That's what I'm talking about, Joe. It's hard living the
that
rock and roll
dedication.
Lifestyle.
Yeah.
What show are you going to go see?
You know how it is.
You know
really
how it is? That's kind of a weird
really
band name.
You can't stay for a show. You just got to be at the scene.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
So it's, you know, multiple places, multiple women, you know, just another night.
Joe, it's like talking to myself right now. It's crazy.
I know.
Hey,
all right, I'll open up the line for other non-idiots.
I appreciate it, Joe.
Thank you, non-idiot.
KOP, you're on the air. Hello, Carla. Huh? Oh, That one did not work. Okay. What are we doing here? Yeah, there it is. Oh, well, thanks to Joe for calling in with that. What did you do last night, kid?
What did I do? I don't have TiVo, so I actually have to watch my shows when they're on.
TV shows?
Yeah, those kind of shows. I'm not a rock DJ. I don't have to go and...
They're not going to watch themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because part of rock DJ, you got to watch. Right. You know what I was going to do today?
What were you going to do?
I was going to do another segment, another edition of our popular segment, Mascot Winning Takes a Bullet.
Awesome.
Where we, we preview entertainment products so you don't have to.
I like this. The
common individual. And I was going to go eat a McRib, which I don't even know if that qualifies really.
I would say it does.
It does?
Yeah, I think so. Because I think people are curious about it, but if it's really horrible, they want to know so that they're prepared at least.
That's right. More on the McRib in a second. KOP, you're on the air.
Mac Blake, please.
Yeah, this is he.
Hello, Mac Blake. This is Eugene Fernwall.
Oh, hey. Eugene Fernwall. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Eugene Fernwall. He's an author and he's a motivational speaker.
I call it a bad time. I can try another week. I can try some other time.
No, your agent set this up. This is the time we want you to call. Jimena Estrada is also in the studio.
Hello.
Oh, hello. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm glad you're calling.
And
the honor is on this side of the phone entirely.
And Eugene, you have a new book out called "There Is Time for Love, Dr. Jones: Eliminating Distractions and Focusing on What's Important."
That is correct. Yes, I see you got the copy that my agent sent in the mail. So
it's a nice volume. It's well designed too. It looks like it.
Yes, I love taking those photos. My friend Hans Gliebkick helped me with the cover art, and it was just a fun experience. The whole thing was just a blast.
Cool. Yeah, and I should say that I work at a place of business called International Tomato.
That is correct. That is where we met.
Yeah, and Eugene came there this past week to speak. And after hearing him speak, I felt like he had a lot of good stuff in there. I wanted to have him on the show and maybe share some stuff.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yes, I was brought into International Tomato because your boss, Mr. Gomez, felt the company could use some motivation. It seemed to him that the company wasn't focused, that priorities weren't in order. But when I got there, I found that Mr. Gomez was the problem. He was so wrapped up in this new salsa project he was developing that he lost sight of everything else. He ignored his work, his family. He didn't bathe regularly or properly. He was having trouble with his wife, Olga. Can I say in the bedroom?
Yeah, you can say that.
Okay. Well,
That's about as far as I'd like to go with that, though.
Right. That's fine. I understand you're on a radio show, but yes, it is true. He and his wife were having trouble in the bedroom with sex.
Okay. All right. That's
I don't mean to laugh at his problems. I'm sorry.
No, it's understandable. I mean, these are problems that people have, and it's okay to laugh. That's actually chapter 14 in my book, titled, oddly enough, It's Okay to Laugh.
I want to read that chapter.
You
14, you said?
Chapter 14. That's correct.
So yeah, and something sort of, I mean, there was a lot going on in the International Tomato, and so that was a good time for you to come and talk to us.
Yeah, Mr. Gomez really seemed to be the problem, which was odd that he would sort of point the finger at himself. I mean, from what I gathered, he was so caught up in his new project that something important at the company happened. And well, you tell me what happened, Mac.
Well, he forgot to pay us.
Right. And for how long?
It's been about 6 weeks now.
I'm sorry, you mean he still hasn't paid you?
Yeah, that's correct. He has not.
Okay, that might be another problem entirely.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you, just kind of between the two of us, I don't even know why he still works there.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he should be working, period, in any sort of environment. To get to the point, my point is that sometimes things that you think are important are really not, and sometimes those things can take your eyes off the prize. So could you hold on 1 second?
Sure.
Okay, great. Thank you. What? What is it? I can't understand you.
Is he talking to us?
I can't.
I think so.
Okay.
Why don't you use words instead? Well, when you figure out how to act like a human being, then you come back and we'll try this again. So you really need to take charge of your life and your priorities.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Yes, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. I should say we're talking to Eugene Fernwell, author of There Is Time for Dr. Love, Dr. Jones. There's Time for Love, Dr. Jones.
There Is Time for Love, Dr. Jones. It is quite a mouthful, but you're not paying by the word, so it is a bit of a bargain book-wise.
That's true, yes.
Yes.
So what is your solution for dealing with distractions?
Well, distractions are like undesirable people, like a guest at a dinner party or like a customer at Walmart. And you must deal with distractions in the same way. You'd say, distraction, you are distracting me, and I would like you to stop.
Okay.
We'll try it one time.
You want to say it?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Distraction.
Yes.
You are distracting me, and I would like you to stop.
Right. And you don't have to say it exactly like that. You could be more personal with it, like, I would like you to stop, bro, or I would like you to stop, dude, amigo.
Oh, or how about maybe just a simple, like, you know, knock it off?
Oh, no. You do not want to do that. That's what we call harsh tone. I think I went over that in chapter 8.
So when did you first realize that it was a method that would be successful?
I'm sorry, could you hold on one second?
Sure.
I'm sorry. I'll be with you in one second. I am busy. My eyes are currently off the prize right now because of you. Did you not hear me the first time? Did you go deaf for being stupid or stupid for being deaf? Are you calling me a liar?
Oh, God.
Say the words. I would like nothing more. I would like nothing more than for you to call me a liar.
Wow.
I'm sorry. That question again. What was that question? One more time.
Is everything okay?
Everything's fantastic.
Oh, okay.
Back to the question. I'm sorry.
Oh, we were just wondering when you realized that this method was going to be a successful one.
Oh, that is a fantastic question. Thank you very much. I've actually been using this method for years, but I didn't really think I had anything special until I met one Miss Lonnie Anderson in the late 80s.
Wait, Lonnie Anderson, the actress?
That is correct. She sought me for some career advice regarding specifically a remake of her hit show WKRP in Cincinnati, which I think we all remember.
Yeah, no, it holds a particular place in the heart of every radio man and radio lady.
And every red-blooded American male, because she was quite fetching in that show.
That's quite true. Fetching.
Yeah.
Quite fetching, yes, that's correct. She said, Miss Lonnie Anderson said, so Eugene, I want to be back on top, but I love my husband, famous actor Burt Reynolds. So I said, Lonnie Anderson, what is more important to you, the hijinks of a made-up radio station or your beloved? And when I said, you are embarrassing yourself.
I don't get
embarrassed. You can't embarrass me. But I'm embarrassed for you. You are acting like a fool. What do you want me to do about it? And how do you propose I do that? Magic? 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 Should I perform magic? Magic? Then what should I do? Magic? Stop it. Stop it. You are an embarrassment. So ultimately, Lonnie Anderson made the right decision, and her love blossomed for a few more years until it burned out due to unrelated circumstances. But that was the day. That was the day that I realized that I had something special.
Wow. And we're, as you should say, once again, we're on the air with self-help and distraction specialist Eugene Fernwell. I'm sorry, a specialist in dealing with distractions.
That is correct. Guilty as charged. Yes, sir.
So what advice would you have for someone who is apprehensive?
I swear to God, I would like to strike you, if for no other reason than for the authorities to come and take me away and lock me in a concrete room with a toilet and a light bulb, eating crackers and air, because it would be a summer cruise compared to looking at your dumb face. I'm sorry, what was that question one more time?
You know, I'm sorry to interrupt, but is this a bad time?
No. Why would it be a bad time? I don't understand.
I mean, well, we can clearly hear you're having a problem.
I'm not having a problem. I'm actually, funny you mention it, I am eliminating a distraction right now.
Oh, I understand, but what I'm saying is, you know, we can do this another time. You know, if your assistant or whomever, you know, that is that you're angry at, if that doesn't sound, if he doesn't have to be a distraction.
No, it's nothing important. It's just my son.
I'm sorry?
My son, Edgar. I get custody one weekend a month, and he thinks he owns the damn place.
So you're yelling at your son?
Well, I'm eliminating a distraction right now.
Well, how old is your son?
Oh, I don't know. He comes up to my knee. How old is that?
that's kind of young. That's kind of young.
Yeah, so that's
all relative.
Well, how tall are you?
I don't see how that's relevant, really.
Well, you said it's relative. It comes up to your knee. Just how tall are you?
I am 5'2.5".
Okay, I don't want to. I'm not trying to tell you. I distinctly heard you say you were going to strike your son.
No, that I'm eliminating distraction. I'm using not harsh tone. I'm using necessary tone, which if you read chapter 9 of my book, you would understand there's a difference between harsh tone and necessary tone.
Well, you kept saying the word magic. Do you have a chapter maybe on dealing with things by bringing up illusions or magic?
No, that's just, he's just being ridiculous. He wants me to take him to some toy store. And frankly, I don't have the time or the energy or the patience to deal with him because he will go up and down the aisles and he won't pick a toy. And frankly, the only way I could deal with his shenanigans
Eugene. Like maybe we can just, you know, maybe we can wrap it up because maybe
I'm
that's just for the best.
With this
yeah,
a little bit.
I have to agree.
I'm sorry. Are you saying I'm an unfit parent? Listen, let me ask.
Well, I had you on the air to talk about, you know, distractions, but you're yelling at your, and you heard your son.
Answer my question. Do you have children?
No, I don't.
So you're just talking out of your big dumb mouth.
Well, I was.
It is big.
Is your mouth big and dumb? It sounds rather stupid.
Look, that's not an appropriate thing to do.
You don't know what it's like to have 1 weekend a month taken from you. In fact, the other day Lonnie Anderson called and asked me out for ice cream. I love ice cream, but I couldn't. Shut your mouth! You do not. You do not love ice cream. Would you like to know why? Because I took my eyes off the prize. I couldn't go have ice cream with Lonnie Anderson because I took my eyes off the prize.
You know, I can't believe that you wrote a book on distractions.
Well, I wasn't distracted that year. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, you seem really distracted right now.
I'm not distracted at all. We are having an interview. I am peddling my book. There is Time for Love, Dr. Jones. And I think it's going quite well, so can continue with the question.
It's not going quite well. You keep stopping to brutally yell at your son.
No, he's
who is, how old is he? He's, you said he's as tall as your knee and you're 5'2". You're young, your very young son.
I can find his driver's license if you really want to know.
There's no way he's got a driver's license.
Probably. I don't know what Deborah lets him do. I'm at my wit's end with this rascal. You're a rascal.
Okay, we'll see. Look, I don't want to do this interview anymore. Whoa. You're distracted.
I have a suggestion.
Suggest away, Armando.
Why don't you tell your son to just... why don't you say, I would just like you to stop, dude?
Yeah, I did that. I haven't
heard you say that.
I did that about a year and a half ago, and he...
When he was in the womb?
You know, I don't really like your tone, frankly.
I apologize. Well, I don't mean to take on the same tone that you have with your son.
Totally classic chapter 8. You're giving me a harsh tone.
I apologize.
Well, you come on the show, and I don't appreciate the way now that you're talking to him. Her name's not Armando.
I'm sorry. What did you say her name was?
Jimin. I clearly said that at the beginning of the interview.
Oh, no, that can't be right at all.
No, this is absurd. I can't believe that you are... It feels like a different person than spoken in National Tomato.
Excuse me. May I just say one thing real quick?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Distraction. You are distracting me, and I would like for you to stop.
All right, who are you talking to in that point? Who's the distraction?
Distraction. You are distracting me, and I would like for you to stop.
We're the distraction?
Distraction. You are distracting me.
Okay, well, this is, you know what, you are a distraction.
Distraction! Oh, I'm trying not to lose my temper. I'm trying not to lose my temper.
You already lost it. You're yelling at your son.
Who's yelling at me? You're yelling right now.
All right, let's all come down. We're all friends here. We're all trying to not get distracted.
You are distracting me.
All right, we're talking to author Eugene Fernwell, author of There Is Time for Love, Dr. Jones, Eliminating Distractions and Focusing on What's Important. If you're just going to do that, we should probably end the interview.
Not for long. That's fine. I have Lonnie Anderson's number, and Chili's is open till midnight. I will do that instead of wasting my time with you, Mac, and... Mac,
Armando.
Armando. Thank you. So I was right.
Her name's not Armando.
My middle name is Armando.
Well, then call me the Magic Man because I guessed it correctly.
See, you have a thing with magic.
No, my incompetent son does.
Okay, look, I can't take this anymore. You know what? Well, you know what, Eugene? You need to get some help.
Perhaps I should write a book on it and then I can reference it later and say that author was brilliant.
Okay. All right.
I am off to Chile.
That's a good strategy.
Okay. I bid you farewell.
Yeah, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Jeez. Wow.
He was kind of interesting.
Interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting how...
I guess I can say that because I'm not his son and he wasn't... I guess I
feel
bad.
He said I had a big dumb
mouth.
Now
I feel bad for the son. Now I do.
We're just trying to have a normal conversation. This wasn't the man I met earlier in the week.
Well, I mean, it's the weekend. Who knows what he was up to, you know, earlier. Maybe, you know, he doesn't know how to deal with interviews over radio. Maybe he's better in person, face to face. Maybe he wouldn't be screaming so much.
All right. Well, maybe you're just have a better perspective on this, but
it's because I'm cooler.
I mean, well, maybe because you're cooler, but he also said he was going to strike his son.
You're right. I shouldn't underestimate that part. Parents, don't strike your children.
Tell you what, you want to take a break?
Let's do it.
All right. So what are we gonna hear? Let's play some more music so I can shut up talking as our second caller advised me to do.
Well, the other song that I would like you to play is a Justice versus Simeon, and that's "We Are Your Friends."
With more of the Mascot Wedding Show. My name is Mac Blake.
And I'm Jimena Estrada.
That's right, David Hatta is on assignment. What did we just hear? Let's hear some music.
That was Justice versus Simeon, We Are Your Friends.
And that was a remix, right?
It's not exactly a remix, it's just sort of, Simeon is one band and just, or not anymore, but they were, and Justice is another one, and I guess they made that track together. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that's the first track that Justice was discovered when that song came out. I'm not super sure on the facts, but I think that the producers of Daft Punk heard that and were super impressed, so they signed them on immediately. But
and that is that off their album?
I don't think it's on any album. I think you can go online and download it like I did, but I'm not aware of it being on any specific album now.
You know, I like that, but I'm a little worried about it, too.
Why? What's up with that?
You know, because a little bit of full disclosure here, I play some stuff on the show from time to time, and some of it is stuff that Jimena has turned me on to. You know, because I'm a rock DJ, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
We're done with that!
Yeah.
And I like it, but sometimes what worries me is that it's a little too dancey.
You know, I kind of understand what you mean, though.
Like, for instance, Justice, I like that song, too.
Right.
And I was on YouTube, YouTubing around, and I saw that someone had a video of one of their live performances. And I clicked on it and I watched it, and there's no microphone. It's just two guys with decks. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Two DJs on the one and the two, mixing it up. And I was like, oh, I don't know about this. Because I have an inherent distrust of sort of dance and club music and that kind of thing.
Well, I understand that. I do. Because a lot of the times you kind of want to, or I feel like I want to stay within the non, I don't want to call it Edith the Roxbury kind of music, but if you veer off into too much of a dancey genre of music, you sort of start feeling a little clubby, a little like you should start wearing shiny shirts and,
yeah, exactly.
And start handing out Cosmos to the ladies.
You know, because a lot of, I mean, like, for instance, that Justice song, I liked it. It's got a nice pound of beat. Makes me want to get down. But then next thing I know, I'm, you know, like you said, I have glow sticks on
you're
or something like that.
You're afraid of losing the rawness to it.
Yeah.
It becomes too disco-y or, I don't know if those are the right terms, but I understand what you mean. You don't want to veer off too far, and then all of a sudden you're listening to nothing but the Bee Gees.
I don't want to call it a crisis facing today's rock world, but maybe I will. Because it's good to have some dancey stuff. I mean, look at you know, like Franz Ferdinand. That guy built his gold-plated mansion by being a dancey rock band.
Well, see, that's why I like Justice, because Justice is electronic music. It's electronic pop, you know, punk sort of. But I find that it has a good mixture of dancey, but not to the point where people like you would be uncomfortable with it.
People like me, what does that mean?
People like you. People like you that are afraid to get in touch with their too dancey side, which like I said earlier, I understand where you're coming from with that.
But
that's why I'm easing you in. That's why I gave you Justice, and then I'm going to start handing you other stuff. The next thing I know, I'm going to see you in shiny shirts handing out Cosmopolitans to the ladies.
So you're not afraid of going all the way dance?
I am no longer afraid. I am no longer afraid. I think that I could, you know, I think I'm good. I think Justice has helped me to get on that side of genres.
I feel that now because I listen to a lot of rock that has little dancier moments, I'm starting to appreciate a lot of like rawer stuff as well. Like just some loud, like, you know, maybe a little like harsh stuff. Like I don't want to say this word, I'm going to say punk. Maybe like a little bit of punk. Which I feel stupid saying because I'm very not punk. I drive a, you know, Ford Taurus.
Harsh is relative.
Yeah.
Harsh is relative. I don't know what... If your harsh is harsh for some people, there are probably some people listening going, what the hell is he talking about?
I listen to some really hard stuff. I popped in some Cheap Trick the other day. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Ooh, that stuff is heavy. I mean, you better wear a back brace when listening to that stuff.
It's all relative.
That'll
throw your
back out. That is... I mean, have you heard that song, Want You to Want Me? Woo. Oh, man, that is heavy. That's solid gold heavy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. That is metal. That's metal, my friends. Because there's some stuff like that. I mentioned this earlier. This is an awkward transition, but I'm going to make it. McRib.
Does dancing make you think of McRibs?
Well, I get hungry all the time. So maybe it does.
Sure.
But I thought about taking a bullet and eating a McRib. Like, that would be a good sort of product to preview. Because I figured if I have not had a McRib, then maybe members of the co-op audience would also be curious to what a McRib tastes like. How about you? Have you ever had a McRib?
I know that when I was younger... I used to live in Memphis, Tennessee, and I know that my dad would buy them, and of course he wouldn't buy me my own, but he would let me have a bite of his, and I do remember liking it. I do remember thinking, Dad, that was awesome. But I'm not gonna trust the judgment that I had at that age. So I'm gonna say that I don't know. I don't have an opinion on them yet.
See, that's why I think it'd be good to sample it. Because I like barbecue stuff and I like some ribs.
But when you say barbecue and then you think of a McRib at McDonald's, when they hand you the little packet of barbecue sauce, that's not really barbecue sauce.
Yeah, and that's not really...
So I'm just afraid that it's made out of, like, Jell-O, some sort of barbecue Jell-O, and then they stick some sort of McRib that's been frozen for 3 years.
Well, yeah, it is, like, Play-Doh Fun Factory'd into, like, a weird rib shape. Because it's just, like, I guess it's loose rib... All right, now I'm going to have to eat it. Now, I think it's just loose rib meat. But I think I will actually now have to eat it, but... It's weird too because it's seasonal.
I don't get that. Why is it seasonal? Is it because if they have it around for too long, people are going to realize that it's a Play-Doh Fun Factory food?
That is exactly what I'm thinking.
If they like give you a taste and then take it away, you're like, wait, I wasn't done with that. And like, oh, well, now wait till next year.
Wait, what happened to the horrible thing that I've been eating that makes me feel like I want to die inside? What happened to that?
I think actually it's very smart marketing. Right? Because aren't they popular? Don't people like run to go get them before they're gone while supplies last?
There's got to be some McRib heads for... Ugh,
McRib like heads.
McRibbits.
McRibbits.
Some McRibalds out there who, you know, they have that circled McRibbits on the calendar.
So would the mascot for that be a frog?
Yeah, it would be a frog that loves ribs and like... He's got a big, giant, you know...
Gut.
He's got a big
McRibs.
Gut, yeah. And he's got, like, sort of a big mascot head, but on the frog's lips are covered in barbecue sauce.
I want to see that. Yeah. I think if it remains seasonal, we won't be able to see the McRibbit too much.
McDonald's had a really good ad campaign for it, too, a while ago. They had this super annoyingly catchy song that I found myself singing. It was like... Because it was playing on the fact that the McRib is seasonal, and this is always bizarre, but it was like... Here, let me turn on the bed music. It was like, did you miss me? I missed you too.
Oh, God.
Is that the McRib, like, saying that to me? Like, did you miss me? I did, McRib. I missed you too. You did? Oh, McRib, get in my mouth. Like,
oh, that's horrible.
What? It's not horrible. You just eat the McRib.
Right.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
The McRib gutter?
Yeah, I guess. That's what I call my stomach after having a McRib.
Exactly.
Is what I'll be saying
McDonald's
next week.
Doesn't want you to focus on the gutter in your stomach, and that's why they take it away. Right before you start realizing that it's a gutter.
Tell you what, next week. And I'll say this. I like fast food for the most part. I know it's horrible for me, but it is tasty. But I'm also, I'm a thinking man's fast food person. So I think I'll give a good opinion. I think I will go eat a McRib.
All right, listen, when you go, call me up. Because I want a bite. I won't get my own.
Okay. Well, by the way, we don't endorse McDonald's at all. This feels like an extended commercial for the McRib. Hey, Jimena, what are you going to do with your McDonald's McRib money?
Oh, man,
that they
I'm
pay
loving
us?
It. I'm loving it.
Ba-da-ba-ba. You know what
no,
I'm loving?
No, we are not singing that song. Please do not.
You know what song I do want to hear?
What?
And then I do love some Beck with Precious Zone.
Oh, Beck. I love him.
Off of Midnight Vultures. More Mascot Wedding. After this.
countryside is overgrown. There's a lighthouse and a song.
Moscow Wedding Show back again. We are in the home stretch. We're about to turn the show over to the clear spot up next on Co-op. What did we just hear, by the way, music-wise?
That was Beck.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Stupid.
Yeah, right.
That was Beck, Pressure Zone off of Midnight Vultures. What I like about that song, I should have intro'd it better, but like it goes, and then you hear like a sword being pulled out. And
that's Beck for you. I love Beck. He knows how to stick little things like that into his music.
Beck himself is not underrated, but I feel like every one of his albums is.
No, I'm amazed by how much grief I get for being a diehard Beck fan. I've run into so many people that are just like, you know what? It's over. Like, get over it. And I'm like, you know what? Do you see that bumper sticker on my car? It's the only one I have that says Beck on it. Don't talk to me about that.
That's right. You have a huge bumper sticker in the back of your Volkswagen Bug.
I mean, I can't even see through my rear mirror.
It looks distracting.
Through the back.
Yeah, no,
that's how much I love him. I support him.
It's almost like that thing in Talladega Nights. It looks like a safety hazard.
Well, do you know where I got it?
No, where?
Where he played the backyard a couple of years ago, and he was giving out stickers with his name on it, and it's in the shape of a bat in the background.
Yeah, but it's literally about 3 feet wide.
Well,
though.
But yeah, that's, I feel like because of the grief I get, I need to, that's how big of a bumper sticker I need to have.
All right. Well, tell you what, folks, it's that time again. Hope you like the Mascot Wedding Show. For more information and podcasts of the show, you may visit mascotwedding.com. If you want to drop us an email at any part during the week, mascotwedding@gmail.com. And if you want to be our MySpace friend with benefits, myspace.com/mascotwedding. Jimena Estrada.
Mac Blake.
It has been a delight having you on the show today.
I hope David does not come back so that I can do this.
Well, he should
on.
Be back. I think he was at he's a LARPer. The live action role playing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I think he was at. Can I be honest with you? Stupid. It's just really stupid.
What David is, or
no, the whole live action role playing thing.
Well, you know, to each his own.
Yeah, I don't know, but I mean, I think he's at that.
Stick LARP. With it, David. Don't come back.
I think Sunken Valley, because they're having a LARP con right now, and I think that's where he is. But he should be back next week, and Jimena Estrada, I think you can fulfilling in. Let's
no
go
problem.
Out with the bang here. What are we going
to
hear?
We're going to listen to Ladytron off of. Light and Magic, I think the song is called School Is Out.
All right, awesome. Goodbye, Jimena.
Goodbye, Mac.